Welcome to Zichud Avsi Money Member. We have Ram Goldhar, and today we're Maseches Erev and Daf Pei Aleph. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. The Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Pei Aleph base stated that according to Rabbi Eliezer, b'chol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melech, any food may be used to make an Erev or Shitav except water and salt. Rabbi Yeshua said, kikur hu Erev. Only a whole loaf of bread is valid as an Erev. Even if a loaf that is baked from a sa'a flour is slightly broken, it may not be used, whereas a loaf the size of an iser, so long as it's whole, may be used as an Erev. Rabbi Yossi ben Shula said in the name of Rebbe that the reason for Rabbi Yeshua's ruling is Mishum Eva, because of ill will. Rashi explains that the residents who contributed whole loaves might complain to those who contributed only broken loaves. Rav Ashi explained to Rav Acha Breda Rava that even if all the residents contributed only broken loaves, Rabbi Yeshua would not approve. Shema Yaksur Davul Kalkula. Perhaps the situation will revert to its problematic state that people become accustomed to donate broken loaves even when others donate whole loaves. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Nosen Adam Mala Chenveni Ulanachdom Kedei Sheyizkah Lo Erev, a person may give a ma to a grocer or a baker so that the grocer or baker can confer upon him ownership in the Erev or Shitav made from the grocer's wine or the baker's loaf of bread. Whereas according to the Chamim, Ulazachu Lo Ma'osav, his money doesn't acquire a share of the Erev for him. The Gemara asks how Rabbi Eliezer could permit payment alone. Halo mashach, he didn't do mashicha and bring the food into his possession, which is a derabban requirement to acquire an object. Rav Nachman answered the name of Rabba Bar Avahu, Asu Rabbi Eliezer Karba Prakim Bishana. Rabbi Eliezer treated this matter like the case of four seasons of the year. The Gemara cites a Mishnah in Chulin that enumerates the four busiest days of the year for butchers as the days before Shemini Atzeres, Pesach, Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah. The Rabban waived the necessity for Mashiach on these days because of these special circumstances. Rashi explains that Rabbi Eliezer rules that in the case of Erev, the Rabban also waived the need for Mashiach to facilitate making the Erev because it's for Shabbos. And point number three, the Mishnah continues, Umodim Chachamim Bashar Ko Adam Shazachu Ma'osav. The Chachamim concurred that in regard to all other people who are not merchants, to whom the resident gave money with which to acquire for him a portion of the Erev, that his money acquires for him an ownership in a portion of the Erev food. Rashi explains that when the person says, obtain from me a possession in the Erev, his intent is different. Since ordinary people do not sell loaves of bread, he intended to merely appoint the other person to act as a shaliach, where the money is being provided for the service, rather than the payment for the loaf of bread. In the case of the grocer, if the person had instructed him to make an Erev for him, the Erev would be valid. So once again, the 3 points are. Point number one, the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Pei Aleph Beis stated that according to Rabbi Eliezer, b'chol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melech, any food may be used to make an Erev or Shitav except water and salt. Rabbi Yeshua said, Kikar hu Erev, only a whole loaf of bread is valid as an Erev. Even if a loaf that is baked from a soft flour is slightly broken, it may not be used, whereas a loaf the size of an Isser, so long as it's whole, may be used as an Erev. Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul said in the name of Rebbe that the reason for Rabbi Yeshua's ruling is Mishum Eva, because of ill will. Rashi explains that the residents who contributed whole loaves might complain to those who contributed only broken loaves. Rav Ashi explained to Rav Acha Breda Rava that even if all the residents contributed only broken loaves, Rabbi Yeshua would not approve because Shema Yaksur Davu Kukulo. Perhaps the situation will revert to its problematic state that people become accustomed to donate broken loaves even when others donated whole loaves. Point number two, the next Mishnah states that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Nosen Adam Mala Chemveni Ulanachdom Kedei Sheyizkah Lo Erev, a person may give a ma to a grocer or baker so that the grocer or baker can confer upon him ownership in the Erev or Shitav made from the grocer's wine or the baker's loaf of bread. Whereas according to the Chachamim, Lozachu Lama'osav, his money does not acquire a share of the Erev for him. The Gemara asks how Rabbi Eliezer could permit payment alone. Halamashach, he didn't do Mashiach and bring the food into his possession, which is a derabban requirement to acquire an object. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Bar Avahu, Asu Rabbi Eliezer Ka'arba Prakim Vishana. Rabbi Eliezer treated this matter like the case of four seasons of the year. The Gemara cites a Mishnah Chulin that enumerates the four busiest days of the year for butchers, as the days before Shemini Atzeres, Pesach, Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah. The Rabban waived the necessity for Mashiach on these days because of these special circumstances. Rashi explains that Rabbi Eliezer rules that in the case of Erev, the Rabban also waived the need for Mashiach to facilitate making the Erev because it's for Shabbos. And point number three, the Mishnah continues, Umodim Chachamim Bishar Kol Adam Shazachu Lama'ozav. The Chachamim concur that in regard to all other people who are not merchants, to whom the resident gave money with which to acquire from a portion of the Erev, that his money acquires for him ownership in a portion of the Erev food. Rashi explains that when the person says, obtain from me a possession in the Erev, his intent is different. Since ordinary people do not sell loaves of bread, he intended to merely appoint the other person to act as his shaliach, where the money is being provided for the service rather than payment for the loaf of bread. In the case of the grocer, if the person had instructed him to make an erev for him, the erev would be valid. All right, so now we go to a simon for Daf Pei Aleph, and the simon is a grandpa. So here goes. The grumpy grandpa who complained when a neighbor brought him a broken loaf of bread to join the erev, while he was waiting in the long line to pay the butcher erev Shavuos, got insulted when someone else gave him money for the erev and asked him to act as his shaliach. Once again, in slow motion. The grumpy grandpa, that must be one Daf Pei Aleph. The grumpy grandpa who complained when a neighbor brought him a broken loaf of bread to join the Erev, which reminds him of Yeshua said that one may only use a whole loaf for the Erev or Shituf because of Eva, residents who contributed whole loaves, might complain to those who contributed only broken loaves. So the grumpy grandpa who complained when a neighbor brought him a broken loaf of bread to join the Erev while he was waiting in the long line to pay the butcher Erev Shavuos, which reminds us that according to Eliezer, a person may give a mod to a grocer or a baker so that the grocer or baker can confer upon him ownership in the erev or shituf made from the grocer's wine or the baker's loaf of bread, even though he didn't do meshicha. Eliezer treated the matter like the case of Arba Prakim B'Shana, the four seasons of the year, the four busiest days of the year for butchers. Just as the Rabban waived the necessity for meshicha on these days because of special circumstances, they also waived the need for meshicha to facilitate making the erev because it's for Shabbos. So the grumpy grandpa who complained when a neighbor brought him a broken loaf of bread to join the erev while he was waiting in the long line to pay the butcher Erev Shavuos, got insulted when someone else gave him money for the Erev and asked him to act as his shaliach. Which reminds us, the Chachamim concurred that in regard to all the people who are not merchants, to whom the resident gave money with which to acquire from a portion of the Erev, that his money acquires from ownership in a portion of the Erev food. Since ordinary people don't sell loaves of bread, he intended to merely appoint the other person to act as his shaliach, where the money is being provided for the service rather than payment for the loaf of bread. So once again, the grumpy grandpa who complained when a neighbor brought him a broken loaf of bread to join the Erev while he was waiting in the long line to pay the butcher Erev Shavuos got insulted when someone else gave him money for the Erev and asked him to act as his shaliach. All right, now it's time for our four blot back chazara. Daf Ein Zayin. So the Simra Ein Zayin is a goat. A goat. So here goes. The world-famous circus goats. Goats. That must be more on Daf Ein Zayin. The world-famous circus goats dance along the thin wall between the two chetzeros, which reminds us. The Gemara brings Malchokas regarding a wall between two chetzeros that is 10 tefachim high, but not 4 tefachim wide. Rav said, Avyashtei Rishuyi Shalatz Behen, the airspace of the two domains, meaning the unmerged chetzeros, control the top of the wall. Yaziz Bo Afil Mali Nima, therefore one may not move anything on it, even as much as the fullness of a hair. The Gemara clarifies that the top is a Makom Patur, and it should be mutter to carry on top of the wall, and even to carry from the top of the wall to each chatzer, as we find that it's permitted to carry from a Makom Patur to Rosh HaYachid and to Rosh HaRabim. However, Rav holds, Chachamim asu chizuk divreim yosim mishal Torah. The Rabban strengthened their own enactments, meaning they were more machmir, with the Isur the Rabban out of concern that people will violate them in order to move things between two chatzeros, than they were that people will violate an Isur Deraisa in a similar situation. Rav Yochanan disagrees with Rav and holds that people can even carry food from their chatzer to the top of the wall, since it's a Makom Patur. So the world-famous circus goats danced along the thin wall between two chatzeros, then did backflips down to the lower chatzer, which reminds us, Rabbi said in the name of Rav Huna, who said in the name of Rav Nachman, Koso Sheben Shtei Chatzeros, a wall which is between two chatzeros, Tzido Echod Gevo Asor Tfachim, if one of its sides is 10 Tfachim high, but Tzido Echod Shavu Arts, and one of its sides is level with the ground of the other chatzer, which Rashi explains to mean that it doesn't reach a full 10 Tfachim, Noisin also is Zesh Shavu Arts. We give the use of the top of the wall to this chatzer, which its ground is level with the wall. Mishum da havila zet tashmish benachis, because for the residents of the upper chatzer, it's easy to use, since the top of the wall is within 10 tefachim of the chatzer's floor. Lazet tashmish bakasha, and for the residents of the lower chatzer, its use is with difficulty. And in every case where one's chatzer's use is with ease and the other's use is with difficulty, noisin also is Zesh tashmish benachis. We give use of it to this chatzer for which the use is with ease. So the world-famous circus goats dance along the thin wall between two chatzeros, then did backflips down to the lower chatzer, before climbing back on a movable Egyptian ladder on their two hind legs. Which reminds us, the Gemara introduces a ruling regarding reducing the height of the wall below 10 tefachim so that its top can be considered a pesach. Sulma mitzri ein mamayit, v'hatzuri mamayit. An Egyptian ladder doesn't reduce the height of the wall when leaned against it, but a Tyrian ladder does. An Egyptian ladder has less than 4 rungs, and a Tyrian ladder has 4. Rav Acha, the son of Rava, asked Rav Ashi why the Egyptian ladder doesn't work to reduce the wall. And Rav Ashi explained, Mishum da habili davrishin nita b'Shabbos, because it's something that may be moved on Shabbos, but kol davrishin nita b'Shabbos ain mamayit, and anything that may be moved on Shabbos doesn't reduce the height of the wall. Since the Tzuri ladder is heavy, it will presumably not be moved on Shabbos, which makes it as if it's permanent. Daf Ayin Ches. So the Simfra Ayin Ches is a child going, ugh. So here goes. The mischievous kid who went, ugh, when he saw the bowl of spinach, child going, ugh, that must be more than Daf Ayin Ches. The mischievous kid who went, ugh, when he saw the bowl of spinach, balanced it on a three tefachim peg stuck in a post, which reminds us, Rav Huna said, Amud Brusha, so Rabin Gavo Asar V'Rochav Arba, if a post that is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, thereby constituting a Rishus Yachid, stands in Rishus Rabim, Venatz Bo Yasin Koshuhu, and one wedged a peg of any size into the top of the post, the peg reduces some of the top surface area, rendering it a Makom Patur. The Gemara presents three interpretations of Rav Huna's ruling. Rav Ada Bar Ava said, Ugavo Shlosha, and the peg must be 3 tefachim high. Rashi explains that if it's not 3 tefachim, it's considered part of the top surface. Abai and Rabba both said, Afo Pisha Ein Gavo Shlosha, even though the peg is not 3 tefachim high, it still renders the top of the post Makom Patur, since that part of the surface where the peg was put is not usable. Rav Ashi disagreed with both interpretations and said, Afilo shegavoa shlosha tefachim, even if the peg is 3 tefachim high, it doesn't render the top of the post Makom Patur because it's possible to hang something onto the peg. Rashi explains that since the peg performs a function of the post, it's considered as part of the post and not something that detracts from it. So the mischievous kid went, ugh, when he saw the bowl of spinach, balanced it on a 3 tefachim peg stuck in a post, then booby-trapped the ladders to get it by placing straw rungs in the middle. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef asks Rabbi what the halacha is if one placed two ladders against the wall, each one less than 2 tefachim wide, and he puts straw in the middle, which Rashi explains to mean that he presses straw into the shape of rungs and connect them to each ladder. Do we regard the ladders as having the requisite width of 4 tefachim? Rabbi answered, Ein kafarego olbehen, the ball of the foot cannot go up on them, since one usually steps on the middle part of the rung. Therefore, the straw rungs are not a valid extension. Rav Yosef then asked what the halach is if one affixed straw rungs on either side of a narrow ladder, and Rabbi responded, Kavarego olbehen, the ball of the foot can go up on them, and therefore the straw rungs are a valid extension. So the mischievous kid went, ugh, when he saw the bowl of spinach, balanced it on a 3 tefachim peg stuck in a post, then booby-trapped the ladders to get it by placing straw rungs in the middle, and required climbing up on an asherah tree. Which reminds Rav Yosef asked, Asu le'ilan suam mahu, what's the halacha if one made a tree into a ladder? Is the tree considered a pesach, which allows the two chatzeros to join in a mutual erev, even though one may not climb a tree on Shabbos? He then asks that if we rule that an ordinary tree can indeed serve as a ladder to be an erev, what's the halacha if one made an asherah tree into a ladder? Since one gets hanah from the erev chatzeros, would it be permissible to use it? Rabbi answered that the tree is mutter and the asherah is aser. The Ritva explains that since it's permitted to use the tree as a pesach during the week, we view the Shabbos challenge as incidental and it doesn't affect the tree legal status as a Pesach. Rabbi Yochanan said, and there are those that say that Rabbi Lezer said, Koshe Isser Shabbos Gorim Lo Aser, the tree which cannot be climbed because of Hilchos Shabbos is Aser, but the share which cannot be used for a non-Shabbos related reason is Mutter. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak presents a third answer. Daf Ayin Tes. So the Simfra Ayin Tes is an 8, a pen, and we use a sofer with a quill. So here goes. The distracted sofer who tripped over a ditch filled with pebbles dropped his quill, sofer and quill. That must be one Daf Ayin Tes. The distracted sofer who tripped over a ditch filled with pebbles, which reminds us. The Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Ayin Ches on the base state that if a ditch between two chatzeros that was 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide was filled with earth and pebbles, the two chatzeros must join in one common erev and not make two separate erevs. The Gemara says that this implies afil bastama, even without the owner of the earth and pebbles stating intent that he wants to leave the earth and pebbles there, we view the ditch as if it's permanently filled. This contradicts the Mishnah in Olos that teaches that a house filled with straw or rocks is only considered filled if one specifically intends to leave them there permanently. Three answers were given. Rav Asi answered that our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, with whom the Tana in Olos disagrees. Rav Huna Breda Rav Shua said that we cannot compare Tumah to Shabbos, as people would even abandon a wallet for the duration of Shabbos, since it's Moksa, but are less likely to abandon something because of Tumah. Rav Asi answered that people are more likely to be mevatel something in a ditch, as it's normal to fill in, than in a house, it's not normal to fill in. So the distracted sofer who tripped over a ditch filled with pebbles dropped his quill in a haystack separating two chatzeros, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Mas ben sheben shtei chatzeros gavo asor tefachim, if a haystack between two chatzeros is 10 tefachim, ma'arvin shnai ve'ein ma'arvin echad. The resonance may make two independent eruvs, but may not make one eruv. El ma'achilin mekan ve'el ma'achilin mekan. The resonance of the chatzeros may feed their animals from here, meaning the haystack, and so may the other residents. Rashi explains that we're not concerned that their animals will eat so much straw that the height of the haystack will shrink below 10 tefachim, causing the chazeros to merge and prohibit caring. Rav Huna said regarding feeding the livestock, as long as the owner doesn't put straw in his basket to feed the animals. Rashi explains that the reason that this is forbidden is either because he might take too much and reduce the height of the mechitza, or because the straw is muksa. So the distracted sofer who tripped over a ditch filled with pebbles, dropped his quill in a haystack separating two chazeros, while knocking over an Eved Ivri holding a barrel, a tefach, off the ground. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Ketsa mishtatfin b'mavui, how do we make a shitu for a mavui? So one places a barrel containing food and declares, let this belong to all the residents of the mavui, umazakalahen, and he may confer ownership to them through his adult son, daughter, or through Jewish servants, or his wife. Rav Yudah said, chavi shal shitufay mavos, sarich lahagbi amin akarka, tefach. The barrel that's being used for shitufay mavos must be lifted at least one tefach off the ground, otherwise it remains in the domain and control of its owner. Daf pei, so the simmer daf pei is a payday, or a person with wads full of cash in the pockets. Here goes. The pompous neighbor with wads full of cash in his pockets. Wads full of cash in his pockets? That must be run daf pei. The pompous neighbor with wads full of cash in his pockets didn't want to contribute to the shitif, to spite his neighbors. So his wife came along and without his consent, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether a reluctant resident can be forcibly included in the erev or shitif. There was a Nachri who guarded over the town's weapons in Rabbi Zera's neighborhood, refused to lease his rights to the residents in his chatzah, prohibiting them from caring. They came to Rabbi Zera, who told them that Reish Lakish said in the name of Chanina, a person's wife may join her family in an erev by contributing her husband's food even without his consent. Shmuel said that similarly, if one regularly contributes to the shita, but one week doesn't want to participate out of spite in order to prevent the residents from caring, the residents of that mavui may enter his home and forcibly take a sheet of contribution from him with his wife's permission, according to Tosfos. So the pompous neighbor with wads full of cash in his pockets didn't want to contribute to the sheetuf, despite his neighbors. So his wife came along and without his consent, added enough food to the diminished sheetuf, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Nismait ha'ochel, if the sheetuf food became diminished from the required amount before the onset of Shabbos, mostly from Mazakim, one may add his own food to complete the required amount and confer ownership upon the other residents, Vein Sarko Hodia, and he doesn't need to notify them, even if he uses their food. Rashi explains that even though the residents must approve of their food for the Shitav, consent isn't needed in this case, since they've already approved of the Shitav. The Mishnah continues, Nitosvel then, if more residents were added to the original residents, so that the Shitav food is insufficient for all the residents, Mosif Mazaka Vesarko Hodia, then one may add his own food to reach the required amount and confer ownership to the new residents, but he must notify them and solicit their approval if he desires to use their food. Rashi explains that all the residents must be permitted to eat any of the shitif food. So the pompous neighbor with wads full of cash in his pockets didn't want to contribute to the shitif, despite his neighbors. So his wife came along and without his consent, added enough food to the diminished shitif for 18 residents. Which reminds us, the Mishnah states that the measure of food that must be contributed to the shitif, vizman shem merubim, when the residents are numerous, is mazun shtei seudas l'chulam, provisions equivalent to two meals for one person. When there are few, it's food equivalent to the volume of a dried fig for each one of the residents. Rav Yossi said, "Bemed var mamurim, when are these rules of measurement stated? B'tchilas erev, regarding the inception of the erev, when it's originally made, avo b'shiyari erev koshu, but with regards to the remnants of the erev, any amount is sufficient, and the food need not be replenished for the upcoming Shabbosim." Rav Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama, who said the food must be replenished. Rav Yudah said in the name of Shmuel that 18 residents or more qualify as numerous. All right, now it's time to conclude with a pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos and Shabbos. Number 1. Which topic do you learn that the Chachamim agreed that a resident can give a neighbor money to acquire a portion of the Erev since his intent is to make him a shaliach? That's on Daf. Pay off. Good. Number 2. Which topic do you learn that a wife can contribute to a shitav on behalf of the family without the consent from her husband? That's on Daf. Pay. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you learn that a house cannot have the din of both a bias and a beishar? That's on Daf. Ein Vav. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we have a question of one can make an ordinary tree or an asheri tree into a ladder to allow chatzeros to make a mutual erev? That's on Daf. Ein Chesk. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you learn the amount of food that must be contributed for a shituf when there are 18 or more residents? That's on Daf. Hey, good. Number 6. Which stuff do you learn that straw rungs placed between two narrow ladders does not extend the length of the rungs to give the ladder the status of a Pesach? That's on Daf. Ein Ches. Good number seven. Which of the one the haystack between the chetzeros can be used to feed the animals, since there's no concern that it'll be diminished below 10 tefachim? That's on Daf. Ein Tes. Good number eight. Which Daf do and what to do if the shita became diminished before the onset of Shabbos? That's on Daf. Pay. Good number nine. Which Daf do when the Rebbe Lezer allows a resident to pay the grocer or bake without doing Mashicha, just like they permit it in the specific days when the butchers are busiest? That's on Daf. Pay off. Good. And number 10, which Daf do you learn why pebbles and earth in a ditch separating two chetzeros are presumed to be left there permanently? That's on Daf. Ein Tes. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1, which Daf do we discuss cooking an egg in the sand? That's on Daf. Lama Tes and Shabbos. Good. Number 2, which Daf do you learn that women do not wear signet rings? That's on Daf. Samach and Shabbos. Good. And number 3, which Daf do you learn that Rabbi Gamliel accepted Tanchumim for Tavi Avdo? That's on Daf. Tezayin and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Gold from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.